Hey. Hey, hey. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh. Come on now, got the rhyme, glad you could join us. Spreading some love, just start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Welcome, welcome to Life Unapologetic with Athena Podcast. I am super excited to be back, y'all. Back, and back again. Listen, it has been such an amazing close to the end of last year and the beginning of this year. I'm super excited to be back bringing you guys new episodes and new series for you to enjoy. Today, I really want to bring to you guys Unleashing Your Uniqueness. It is a conversation that I had on a show, and I just thought that it would be so important to put it in the Life Unapologetic with Athena archive so that you guys can enjoy it around the world. Listen, I also want you guys to remember the Spiritual Growth Academy. We are growing. We're not only growing in members, but we're growing in the amount of content, the amount of spiritual strategy that God has to offer for the year of 2022. And so if you have not joined the Spiritual Growth Academy, I suggest you check it out. All of the details will be in the show notes for you to be able to access that and look around our landing page and prayerfully make your way as part of the SGA tribe. So without further ado, let's get to the show. To do a work, this message is for them. Those who have been counted out, those have been rejected, those who have been hurt, Father, this message is for them. So allow their ears to hear and be attentive unto your voice in Jesus' name. Listen, y'all. I call myself nervous. I have some notes. And so when I got called to do this, I said, well, I don't know what we're going to talk about. And so as I was sitting with the Father, he said, you're going to talk about being unleashed into your uniqueness. It's the title that Joyce had on the flyer, unleashed into your uniqueness. This is her tagline. This is her slogan. And I know what it means to be unique, because people come for me for my uniqueness. And he said, but I want you to add something on this, because I'm raising up a remnant, not only to be called, to be unleashed into their uniqueness, to be let go into their uniqueness, but to be called to the nations. It's time for us to get out. And I don't know if you've noticed, but maybe you have, the four walls that we call the church have been knocked all the way down. And so now we have access to the nations. We have access to the nations, but it's going to take a willingness for us to walk into this thing. So like I do with anything, I break down words. And so I said, well, what does it mean to be unleashed into uniqueness? And so I began to look at the word unleashed, and the definition I got was two. It said to be released from a leash or restraint. I don't know about some of you, but there was a process for me to be unleashed from all of the things that restrained me, all of the voices, all of the lies, all of the accusations, all of the judgments, all of the put downs and let downs. God had to unleash me. He had to remove the unstraints so that I would walk into what I was called to do. And so then I began to look a little bit deep, called unleashed. And there was a meaning that kind of it shook me a little bit. It said to cause a strong or violent force to be released, to become unrestrained. Some of us have been into some deep stuff. We have been hurt. We have been hurt by the church. We have been hurt by family. We have been disappointed by man, so much to the point where God has to cause some violent things to happen in our life for us to be unrestrained, for us to be unleashed. Sometimes that harshness, that violent, that strong shaking is very uncomfortable, but it's necessary. I'm talking from experience. I'm talking from experience in my prayer closet where God had to shake some things up. I'm talking from experience where God had to remove some people from my lives. I'm talking from experience where God even removed my daughter to get my attention. Yeah, it wasn't the likely concept. I didn't think human sex trafficking would be part of my story. I didn't think that me going after pimps in the midnight hour would be part of my story, but I understand this strong violent force, the things that God will allow to be, to move us into being unleashed. And so I began to look at the word uniqueness. I'm going to try to go with this. You know, we ain't got that much time, so I got a lot of notes. We're going to get through this. And so I looked at uniqueness. My God, what is it to be unique? What is it to move in a sense of uniqueness? What is it to be not like everybody else? What is it to be chosen, not just called? What is it to be called out? I know that I'm called. I know you called me. You called me to salvation. I went to the altar, but it didn't stop there. You chose me for a work, for a time such as this. And so there were several levels to this thing. I couldn't just stop at the altar. I couldn't just show up to Sunday services. I couldn't just go to the conferences, but I had to fast. I had to consecrate. I had to lay on my face. You put me in some situations to be unique, to the point where it wasn't enough for me just to read my Bible. I had to dive in. I had to be submerged. I had to live this thing and eat this thing and walk this thing out. It wasn't enough for me just to go to the services, but it had to become a lifestyle. It had to become a lifestyle. So I looked up the word uniqueness. I looked up the word uniqueness, and it said the quality of being the only one of its kind. Come on. The quality. Mm-mm. It ain't about quantity. I don't care how many are doing it. It's the quality. God called you. You are the only one of your kind. I don't care how many people are in a pulpit. I don't care how many people got a radio show or a TV show or an Instagram or a Facebook. You are the only one of your kind that can call and walk out the message that he has given you. My God, I remember being in my war room earlier this month, and I had an awakening in my identity. I had an awakening. I thought I had went through the process of identity. I thought I knew that there was all that there was to know about me. See, when I looked at my birthstone, it was a pearl. It's a pearl for June. And the pearl goes through something violent. It goes through something forceful to become a pearl. That clam is at the bottom of the ocean. And there's an agitation that comes into the muscle of that clam. And by this agitation, something new is being created. So part of the process of the pearl in the clam is by agitation. How many of us have been aggravated through the agitation of life, through the life experiences, through the traumatic experiences, the things that you've been through? There's an agitation that causes you to go before the Father, like the clam. With the agitation, you got to go before the throne, and you got to begin to seek God out for yourself. Nobody can help you in this process of agitation, in this process of being unique, in this process of being called out to do the thing that only you can do, only you can do, only you can do. And so in the muscle, there's this agitation. I call it the crux and the crucible. Yeah, the crux and the crucible. If you look up crux and you look up crucible, the crux is that thorn in your side, that thing that you can't tell nobody about because they look at you funny, that thing that you told somebody about and they walked away, that thing that you took at the altar and the preacher looked at you like you was crazy. You was never called to the pulpit. You could never teach a message because you had a thorn. Paul had a thorn too. We never know what it was because it wasn't our business to know. We just knew that it kept him before the Father. And so part of the uniqueness and part of the agitation of the clam is the thorn and the side. It's the crux. But God does something called the crucible. It's when the crucible and the crux come together. There's a conflict of faith. There's a violence that takes place. It's a hard thing to have your crux and your crucible come. It's a hard thing to have to face that I'm imperfect, but I got to do this imperfectly perfect. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? God is calling you and unleashing you into your uniqueness. You got to walk this thing out imperfectly perfect. You are perfect in the Lord's eyes, but you will always be imperfect by man's standard. But that, my God, I'm glad we're not called by man's standard. And so you are a quality of being one of a kind. And so I said, God said, I want to teach you about your birthstone. And I said, well, I already know about my birthstone, Father. I know it's a pearl. I understand. I've been through the crux and the crux. I get my birthstone. He said, I got another one. For you, I made two. For you, I made two. He said, I want you to look up the Alexandrite stone. I want you to look up the Alexandrite stone. And I never heard of this before. I never heard of this. Why are you talking to me in these metaphors? See, prior to this awakening, I had went on a prophetic cruise and we were in the Bay Area on the water, and we were going after marine spirits, and we were tearing down some things over the Bay Area. How many know that you have to be on the wall in your uniqueness? You are called over your area. You are called over your community. You are called over your region. So here I am on a boat. I don't like water, know how I'm being on the boat, but here I am on the boat, and I come home from this amazing experience, and I hear God saying, I've given you gems. I've given you gems. And I said, well, I had green. He said, I've given you emeralds. I had green emeralds on that day. And I said, well, I got emeralds. Okay, amen. Bless you, Father. But he continued throughout the week, I've given you emeralds. He was talking about identity. He was bringing to my attention my uniqueness. He was bringing me into another level of identity where I understood my worth. See, when you understand your worth in the Father, nobody who puts their mouth on you, it will matter. When you know who you are in the Father and you know how valuable you are to him, it don't matter who comes for you. It doesn't matter who shuts the door. It doesn't matter who don't call you on their platform, because you understand your worth and your uniqueness unto God. Everything else is secondary. Everything else doesn't matter. Everything else at that point is irrelevant. And so he said, I've given you emeralds in the spirit. And I said, okay. And so here I am in the war room, and I'm talking about quality, y'all. I'm talking about quality. I'm talking about uniqueness. I'm talking about being peculiar. I'm talking about being unique. And so I looked up the Alexandrite stone, and one thing I found out about the Alexandrite stone is it's so valuable that not many people have ever heard of it, let alone seen or owned it, because it's so unique. It's so rare of its kind that it's so expensive, not many people can even afford it. And the thing about the Alexandrite stone is it has the ability as a gem, as a emerald, to turn colors. It can turn green and it can turn emerald red. It can turn green and it can turn garnet red. And so God began to take me through some deep things about this gem, about this stone that was my birthstone, about the uniqueness of who he had called me to be, about my worth, my self-worth. He was reinforcing my self-worth onto me. And he said, you went through the hard things. You went through the trials. You went through the tribulations. That is the pearl. And now I'm bringing you into quality. I'm bringing you into uniqueness. I'm getting ready to take you places of quality, because you have stood the test of time. You have said yes, and you have pressed into your yes. You understand your why and your assignment. So now I can take you into these unique places. I can take you into places that no one is willing to go, because you understand that you are of quality. You are one of a kind. And so I am calling you out. I'm calling you out. Another part of the meaning of uniqueness is the quality of being particular or remarkable, special and unusual. My God, my God. The quality of being particular. It ain't gonna understand you. They're not supposed to, because they're not made from this cloth. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. So they don't understand remarkable people, because they're too busy trying to be remarkable in their own strength. They don't understand the unusual power of God, because they don't know how to go deep enough into the throne room to get to that level of power. So peculiar, remarkable, and unusual is funny to them. It's disfigurement. It's not normal. It's get them out of here. It's they are not this and they are not that, and strip them of the title that they don't have the right to give you. They don't understand. And I said, okay. God said, write this down. He said, what is success? Mm-hmm. When we think of worth and we think of being peculiar and we think of being remarkable and unusual, God said, what is success? He said, most definitions include references to achieving goals and acquiring wealth, prestige, favor, and power. Uh-huh. He said, this is what I hear the people saying in the earth, that their idea of success is that they've achieved some goals. They've acquired some wealth. They're prestigious in their crowds. They have favor of man, and they have power in their own strength. And he says, successful people enjoy the good life, being financially and emotionally secure as they would portray. He says being surrounded by admirers and enjoying the fruits of their labors. He said they are leaders and opinion makers and trendsetters. Their example is emulated. Their accomplishments are noticed, oftentimes causing partnership with comparison in the body of Christ. He says these people tend to know who they are according to this time, this age, and this culture. He says they seemingly know where they're going. They think they know where they're going. They strive in their own strength confidently to meet their goals. My God, I don't know. I don't look at success the same after this. I don't look at success because this was a slap in the face. He says, and those unleashed, he says, by their standards, like Jeremiah, those unleashed into their uniqueness to carry out the God-given assignment that I've given them, only they can carry out, are oftentimes counted out. He said they're too flawed to be effective by the world standards. They're too unknown to be relevant, and they're too much. There's too much about their past to be truly called by God. Mm-hmm. He said by these standards, like Jeremiah, those who I've called to be unleashed into uniqueness and called to the nations, their assignment only can be carried out by them. He says they are often counted out. How many people counted you out? Uh-huh. How many people said you wasn't good enough? How many people said you weren't going to amount to nothing? Uh-huh. Because your circumstances even validated some of the words that people have put on you, some of the accusations, some of the titles, some of the put downs and the letdowns. Your circumstances validating their word. Even today, it seems like their words are valid. You're counted out. He said, you're too flawed to be effective. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't put down that bottle and you got to smoke that cigarette, and you overhear what Paul and Peter and Jenny and Joan, you know, y'all, we tipping and we slipping. We're too flawed to be effective. They look at our past. They look at what our past has created us to be in present tense. And so by their standards, we are too flawed to be effective by God. You got to look a certain way and smell a certain way and walk a certain way and be in a certain crowd and have a certain amount of likes and influence to be effective. You're too unknown to be relevant. Somebody told me I looked at your analytics and you only got like 3 people following you, so you're not enough to be relevant. He said you don't know your assignment, obviously, because you don't have the likes, you don't have the following. And I said, well, I'm glad that you're not God. I'm glad that you're not God, and I'm glad that you have your opinion. You know, it's like everybody has one of those holes. You got your opinion. I'm glad that you have that. I bless you with that. Move along, sir. Move along. You're too unknown to be relevant, and too much in your past to be truly called by God. Uh-huh. Some people like to dig. They like to do a background check. I call it the social media stalkers. They want to go through your social media page all the way to the beginning so they can begin to get a storyline on you. So they want to go and do some checks and some debriefings on you because they want to validate why you're irrelevant. They want to validate why you are not called by God. They want to validate why they should strip the so-called title as if you need that anyhow. I don't know about you, but the power that rests in me rests on me. With the title or without a title, what I move in has nothing to do with what you call me or you don't call me. It's still power just the same, because the word of God says he's given me power, love, and a sound mind. It didn't say he's given me title, power, love, and a sound mind. So I'm going to move anyhow. I'm going to move anyhow. I don't need to be relevant by your standards. It's about the white throne judgment for me. What is my legacy in the eyes of God? Because at the end of the day, that's my focus. He said, when those unleashed by me to walk in and out their uniqueness under the guidance of my spirit, the Holy Ghost, they for a season are oftentimes ignored. I don't know where you are, but if this is a season where you feel ignored, if this is a season where you feel let down, if this is a season where you feel isolated, God says, that's me. Uh-huh. For your uniqueness under the guidance of my spirit, there are seasons you will walk through at times feeling ignored. He said, yet because of the heaviness and the weightiness of what I've called you to do, you will remain passionate in your message. My God, I don't know about you, but there's something about knowing God has called you. It don't matter how heavy that thing is, you remain passionate in your message. Uh-huh. Yeah, my daughter is gone now with another pimp, but you see me on here passionate about the message because it's about the work that I have to do, because her deliverance is a byproduct of me being obedient to the call. I understand what it is to be unleashed into uniqueness, my God, my God. And he said, because of the heaviness and the weightiness, they understand stand. This is why they're in their war rooms. This is why their posture is not standing in prayer, but laying on their face. This is why they understand what it is to turn over their plate. They understand what it is not to scroll at the first thing of the morning, but to give me praise, honor, and glory. They understand what it means to press into their yes. He said, they're passionate about their message, urging all to act, but yet falling on deaf ears. My God, my God. Although they remain passionate, this remnant, this chosen people, this people that I've unleashed into their uniqueness and called to the nations, they urge people to act, yet fall on deaf ears. All of the other rooms are full because they got the feel-good message. All of the other rooms got all of the followers and sowing the seeds because they're giving them a proper lie. But my people, yeah, their words seem to fall on deaf ears as they usually are for a season. He says they don't even obtain that materialistic success during this season. There is nothing to commemorate that they've made it. Mm-hmm. Can you stand the rain? I hear God saying, can you stand the rain? Can you stand the dry spaces? Can you stand the winter seasons when I'm doing something of uniqueness in you, when I'm prepping and preparing, when I'm dismantling, when I'm cultivating and pruning? Can you stand this season? He said, even with all this, yet those unleashed by me into uniqueness, that calling that no one can walk out but you, that calling that comes with seasons of severe deprivation, leading to imprisonment of others in the body of Christ, opinions and slander, rejected by their own communities, families, false prophets, and even those friends in an attempt to cause the infamous church hurt. This is just my notes. This is just my notes. We ain't got to the text yet. This is just my notes. I'm going to read that again. He says, even with all this, yet those unleashed by the Lord into their uniqueness, that special, that unique calling that no one can walk out but you, that calling that comes with seasons of severe deprivation. My God, you thought that was the devil. Uh-huh. You thought that was an assignment that got by God. You didn't think that was God putting you in a place of incubation. You didn't think that was the Father putting you near the brook Cherith, hiding you for a season. It's not isolation, it's obscurity. I hear God saying, I haven't put you in isolation. I've put you in an obscure space. It's to protect you even from yourself. Mm-hmm. He said that calling that comes with seasons of severe deprivation because you don't understand how deeply rooted some things are. You think that you've forgiven, but you don't know forgiveness. You think that you love, but you don't know love yet. I'm going to show you. You've been trapped in trauma so long that you don't know the difference between love and intimacy. You don't know the difference between religion and rejection. So there's some severe deprivation that has to happen in the pruning season, in the dismantling season. So it's going to feel like it's leading you into imprisonment. Mm-hmm. Their words, the words of the body of Christ that slander your name, the rejection that you feel by your own community and your family, those false prophets putting stank on your name, even close friends, you can't even trust them. It seems like everybody walks away. Yet while standing for seasons, alone while proclaiming the message, you're going to stand alone for some seasons and yet proclaim the message, standing in the gap. This time, for a time such as this, we are called to stand in the gap. Don't matter how it feels, and it doesn't matter who it's for. We're called to stand even in the gap for those who slandered us, those who talked about us, those who walked away, because we actually have the power. We understand that they don't know what they don't know. God says that the world will not understand. They don't have the access that you have, and so you don't have an option not to stand in the gap. Being unleashed into your uniqueness and called to the nation includes those who have slandered your name. You don't get a choice on who's a part of the nation. You're called to it. You don't get to pick and choose who you will intercede on behalf of. You don't get to pick and choose who you will and will not pray for. You must stand in the gap. Mm-hmm. And so God said, yeah, while in this season, God's eyes, in God's eyes, these people are seen as successful. You haven't obtained the accolades and the prestige, but in God's eyes, you are seen as successful. He says a success measured by his standards and his principles on faithfulness and obedience. My God, God ain't looking at the car you drive or the house you live in. He ain't looking at your bank account. He ain't even looking at how big your tithe is, how big your first fruit offering is. You can give $5 and it's good enough to him. Why? Because the faithfulness and the obedience of upholding his word is what he's looking at. It's heart posture for me in this season. It's heart posture for me. And so through this, the remnant, regardless of the opposition and personal cost, courageously and faithfully proclaims the word of God, remaining at all costs obedient to the call that God has on their life. Don't matter what it looks like, you're going to proclaim the word of God. You're going to remain consistent to the obedience that is your call, carrying out the purposes in the earth of God. Yeah, you are going to be the one that's going to bring about manifestation, but I got to get you to understand your uniqueness. Jeremiah, he had trouble. He had trouble. But I want to read Romans 8, 29 and 30 to you, because I want you to understand what God is saying. He said, for those whom I foreknew, I predestined to be conformed to the image of my son. He said, I foreknew you. I knew you beforehand, and you are predestined, which means that you don't have a choice. I was talking to somebody on Messenger and she said, I'm going to get it together. I said, I know you are, because you're chosen. You don't have a choice to get it together. Eventually you will. Why? Because I did. I didn't think I was going to come back from them back alleys. I didn't think I was going to come back from the club. I didn't think I was going to come back from this house and that house, the back seat here and the front seat there. I didn't think there was a comeback to that backslidden lifestyle. I didn't think there was a comeback to the cussing and the smoking and the drinking and the acting a fool. I didn't think there was a comeback when you leave the Father purposely because you've been hurt by the church. I didn't think there was a comeback out of sexual homosexuality and pornography. I didn't think there was a comeback. It had gotten so bad, now my daughter is in the life. So there couldn't be a comeback for me. But you're saying you foreknew me and I'm predestined to become like your son, Jesus. You saying that regardless of what I've done and what I've been through and even some of the changes I've made in my life, that no matter what, I am still predestined to be like your son. I am going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. You're going to do the work from the inside out. He said so that he would be the firstborn among other brothers. He says, and those whom he has foreordained, this is to be of God, to be appointed. He has decreed beforehand, you would be preordained. You would be anointed by him. You would carry his glory and his power. He said, I've also called you. Yeah, you, I foreordained you. I foreknew you, I predestined you, and I've also called you. My God, if all of that is happening at the voice of God, what is man unto that? My God, if all of that, what are their videos? What are their chat rooms? What are their back messages to the other sister and the other brother? What does all of that even matter when I've been foreknown, I've been predestined, I've been known beforehand, I've been appointed? It's been a decree from heaven into the earth. It has to happen. Anything decreed by the Father has to do what it's been set out to do. He says, and those whom I've called, I've also justified. My God, I don't need your justification. God says, I've justified you. I've acquitted you. I've made you righteous. I've put you in right standing with myself. So what do they have to say on the matter? Who are they against me? Where were they when I blew breath into your body? Where were they when I created the firmament? Where were they when I put the sun into the sky and the moon thousands of meters before? Where are they when I built the galaxies? Where were they? I've ordained you. I've called you righteous. I put you in right standing with myself. I said, okay, you telling them something, Jesus, okay. And he says, I've justified you, Athena. I've qualified you. I've made you worthy. I've honored and respected you. I have. The word of God says, and those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity. Need y'all to hear this. I've raised you. I don't care if it don't look like it on earth. I've raised you to a heavenly dignity. It's going to take some time to manifest. We got some work to do, but I need you to understand, when I look at you in dignity. I look at you in right standing. I look at you as whole. I see your true identity through the mess. Heavenly dignity, a quality of being worthy and honored and respected. God says, I've given you a quality of being worthy, even in your current state, honored and respected. You are respected when the angels look down on you. You are respected when the cloud of witness look over at you. You are respected when Jesus sitting at the right hand of me is interceding and speaking prophetic life into the negativity that you think is your life. You are honored and respected by God. My God.
Hey, y'all, listen. I hope that has blessed y'all. I hope it has blessed your life as much as it has blessed me. Y'all know that there's going to be an episode 2 to this because we couldn't get all of that just into one. Again, if you haven't checked out the Spiritual Growth Academy, I suggest you check out the Spiritual Growth Academy so you can get more of this good teaching, more of this good insight. Listen, we also have a radio show that will be changing names called Friday Brunch with Athena. You can check that out on 216 The Beat Radio Show. Also, y'all, we have our YouTube channel. It's called the Spiritual Growth Academy on YouTube. Go check us out, like, share, and join us. We are live on our YouTube channel every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So check us out. Hey, y'all, until next week, I'll see you soon. Bye now.